Hey, it's great to be here, and I've been involved with mentoring since 2000 with Range Report when it started. And Scott Christian knew well, Pastor Lee Miller, who was a big key, and so it's great to see everyone here. You know, as we get started today, Cliff, you said something. You know, thank you for sharing. I'll be praying for you tonight, brother. And, you know, just because you might know about someone, you're here in your entry, you might not know them. Never drink or smoke. You know, in the Christmas story, and also in our life, there's a lot of things you might know about something or about a story or about someone, but it doesn't mean you know them. And so in the Christmas story, there's a lot of things with the Christmas story with Jesus. What are some things that you can recall with the Christmas story?
No room in the inn.
No room at the inn. Good. What else can you remember?
Took place in Bethlehem.
What else?
Three wise men,
three kings. Depends what song you sing. Right. What else?
The Star of Bethlehem.
You know, when you look and you begin to, I'm going to highlight three parts of the story. Just because we know something about the story doesn't mean we really know it. Now, remember with Mary, she was really a teenager. She could have been as young as 13 to 16. She was a young gal. And again, just looking at the scripture, Joseph, she was pledged to be married to Joseph, but they came together. She was found to be with child, what? Through the Holy Spirit. That her, Joseph was not really the father. Joseph was really the stepfather of Jesus, you might say. Did you ever think, what, you know, when you think of the Christmas story, we usually get a picture and you see it on TV. It's really just so special and so sweet. Everything went nice, right? It wasn't that way. Picture you're from a small town, you're a young teenager, and you're found to be pregnant, and your husband wants to divorce you because he's not the father. Matter of fact, you leave town to go see an aunt, and you're pregnant and come back. Do you think word got around town that Joseph was not the father? Yeah. How did God actually had to speak to Joseph, right? To what? Not to divorce her, not to leave her. And he obeyed, which is to me an amazing story. He obeyed God and he believed God that what he said, that God made her pregnant with the baby Jesus. He believed just as Mary. But did you think of the impact that had on Jesus? You know, most people don't look at that and they think nothing of it. They're from a small town. People knew. Matter of fact, if you look in, I'm just going to refer it in John 8. Remember, Jesus had some dealings with the Pharisees, religious leaders. To say they didn't like him because he didn't fit the mold was an understatement. He's rebuking them and he's saying they're like your father, the devil, because you're not following God. You know how they rebuked him? John 8:19, it says, "Where is your father?" What's the implication on that? We know you're from a small town. We know Joseph isn't your dad. Who's your father? Later in that same conversation or argument or disagreement, they said this to Jesus, "We are not illegitimate children." They said that to Jesus. It's not just a sweet story. Mary had to go with the shame that everyone else thought that what? She was unfaithful. Joseph wasn't the father. The shame of an illegitimate child. And the religious leaders are accusing that to Jesus 33 years later. It's not a sweet story. Just because you know about someone doesn't mean you know them. As we struggle with that. Another part of the Christmas story is the hardship of it. So what happened? Mary is pregnant. She's going to have the baby. And what happened right before that? The government said, you need to travel and have your, and go have a census somewhere else. Now, this is the group to ask. Has the government ever asked you to do something that was pretty stupid or silly? Did the government always concern community corrections concerned with your well-being? Always concerned that, you know, you're working extra hours at a job, but you didn't show up for a meeting that we assigned to you, and you're in trouble. And what did the government tell them to do? They had to travel 90 miles. It'd be like for us to walk to Ball State University. Now, I've been to Israel. I've been to Bethlehem. I've been to Nazareth. It is not flat. It is not cornfields. It is mountainous, it is hilly, and it is rocks. Israel is rocks. She's pregnant, 8 months pregnant, probably took her a week. They traveled 90 miles because the government told them they had to. That was a hardship. That was a struggle. And then when they get there, this is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And if someone said, what, there's no room in the inn. So you have it in a manger scene. I've been at the church of the whole church of Bethlehem where they say maybe Jesus was born. I've also been out in the fields where they think really Jesus was born in a cave out in a field with the shepherds. I've been in that cave. Here's a young teenage mom. You see the pictures, you see the manger scenes. It's mud, it's dirt, it's cold, and it's hard. It's not something they chose, but the government forced them to do it. But God was with them. You know, just because you know about something or someone doesn't mean you know them. And they had the hardship. Jesus was called an illegitimate child. Jesus had to be, his mom traveled 90 miles to give birth in a town they weren't a part of. Have you gone through hardships? I appreciate talking to you, brother, if you're pressing on and you're good handle of people being with you through that. You know, the other aspect, what happened after that? The shepherds came and saw Jesus. And where did they see him at? With the manger. Now, who else? You were talking about the wise man or the three kings or whoever you want to say it. Wise man, three kings. Where did they see Jesus at? You know, that's what we picture, right? But I just want to read. They didn't see him in the manger. Matter of fact, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came. They went to Herod to find out about him, and they talked about Bethlehem. And it says in Matthew 2:10, when they saw the star, over, someone said the star too, right? They were overjoyed, and on coming to the house, they saw the child with Mother Mary. They came to a house. Now what happened later, Herod heard that what? He got tricked. The Magi left. He was supposed to come back and say where Jesus was. So Herod was afraid that this King of Kings, this child was going to be king and what? Take away his throne. So what did Herod do? He murdered all the kids in the town 2 years and under. Jesus could have been two. He was in a house. They fled because what? An angel who, and the Lord spoke to Joseph to take Mary, now spoke to Joseph and said what? Flee and go to Egypt. They flee in the middle of the night. And what happened the next day? Historians think up to 20 kids were murdered in their town. And they're fleeing. Do you think those families ever put two and two together? Where's Joseph and Mary and little Jesus? Why are they fleeing? And you think word got around? I think so. So, you know, when we look at the Christmas story, we know about the Christmas story. It wasn't an easy story. And the reason I want to tell you that right now, we all have stories that aren't easy. I don't care if you're in court or not in court. I don't care what, who you are. Life has made it. God has made it. Life is not easy. But we don't have a God who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. We have one who is tempted just like we are, yet he was without sin. See, when we celebrate Jesus at Christmas, I want to encourage you with. People might not, they might know about you, but they don't know you. We have a God who knows you. We have a God that when he was born, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, wasn't in a Trump Tower. It was in a manger, in a cave. He was considered an illegitimate bastard child his whole life. Kids were killed because of him. They were fleeing for their life. That is the God who came in to save us. We have a God who knows your struggles, and he went through far worse than what you've gone through. I don't know about you, that gives me hope. I don't have a God who doesn't understand me. My goodness, he went through far worse so I could know him. And you know, and with that, you might know the story about Jesus at Christmas. You know about the story, but you might not know him. It's just not enough to know about Jesus. You have to know Him. There's a difference. There's a lot of people, and I've done a lot of prison ministry and jail ministry, there's a lot of people that know the story of Jesus. But they don't know Him personally. They know about Him, and they might be a part of it. But they don't know Him, because if you know Him, you're going to be changed by Him. Matter of fact, He says, once you repent, He's going to want, send the Holy Spirit's going to be a part of your life. He's going to move you to want to know Him. He's going to give you the power over your addiction. He's going to give you a passion and love for Him beyond anything else. There's a difference between knowing about Jesus. A lot of people, I'm a pastor, there's a lot of people in the church that know about Jesus, but you know what? Their life is not different than anyone else. They cuss, they smoke, they drink, they focus on self, they don't help others. They know about Jesus, but they don't know Him because Jesus changes you. You want to know if you know Jesus, the Bible says this. The man who loves God will be known by God. God's Spirit will testify to your spirit that what? You are His. You will know. You will know. There's a difference. My son who's 21, I do have the video clip of the 11 baskets he made, if you want to see that later, Bob. I have that. He's playing tomorrow night. I'm serious. I have that and the 10 from last year. And I show him at church regularly, don't I, Marvin? Now, when my son was growing up, do you have a Colts jacket on? Did I see a Colts on the back?
Yeah, but I'm a Chicago fan. This is just because it's warm.
Okay, everyone. You got Chicago. Anybody like the Pacers? Anybody like the Colts? Okay, we got some Hoosiers. When my son was growing up, he loved the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, loved it. I mean, from birth, he was born in Florida, but we moved here when he was four. I mean, he watched every Colts game. The star was under him. That Peyton Manning came, you know, Peyton, the great quarterback. And in third and fourth grade, he had his room full of posters of Peyton Manning. He had watched about every Colts game with Peyton Manning. He had read every book about Peyton Manning that you can as a third grader. And he knew everything about him. So he decided to write a Christmas letter to Peyton Manning. I want to read it to you. This is in third grade, and he goes, "Dear Peyton Manning, I'm one of your biggest fans. You are my favorite player in the NFL. I bet you and Marvin Harrison are going to have the most touchdown passes to each other." My son was a prophet, too. They did. He goes, "I know you can beat the Patriots." They did. "I think you're the best quarterback in the NFL." 4 or 5 times, right? "I know you can win a Super Bowl." My son's a prophet. They did. "I've read a lot about you." Then he says this. Now listen to this. "You went to Newman High School." He read a story about Peyton Manning. He went to Newman High School. My son, trying to connect with Peyton Manning, then said this. "My third grade teacher is Mrs. Newman." I'm sure Peyton read that. "Oh, you're kidding. Your teacher's named after my school. I bet you will have 40 touchdown passes, the most in history." He had more than that. He's a prophet. "Please mail me back with your autograph. Please. Your number one fan, Stephen Halstead, Colts." Now, I want to ask you. You see that letter? What is that right there?
It's an autograph.
It's an autograph from Peyton Manning. Now, we sent that letter, but I was so touched by this letter, I made a copy of it. And I sent it to my dad, and I sent it to my brother-in-law in Indianapolis. Unknown to me, my brother-in-law was best friends with the head sports writer of Indianapolis Star. My brother-in-law just happened to have lunch with this guy, and he showed him the letter. And the guy goes, "You know, I'm meeting Peyton Manning tomorrow for lunch. Let me take it and get him to autograph it." And my brother-in-law gave this to Stephen as a Christmas present in third grade. I stole it, and don't tell Stephen, he's off shooting baskets, he'll never figure it out. But if you had asked Peyton Manning, you call Peyton right now and say, "Hey Peyton, man, we were just talking to Stephen Halstead, you know he set a record at Grace College, 11 threes, and we saw an autographed picture with who you signed, and man, he just talks about you all the time and loves you. Tell me, how did you get to know Stephen Halstead?" What would Peyton say? Stephen who? Huh? You see, Stephen knows a lot about Peyton Manning. He could share back then everything about him, even knew the high school he went to, all his touchdown passes, the different players, pictures, and games. But if you asked Peyton, "Do you know Stephen?" he would say, "I never knew him." You know, it's the same way about Jesus. You can know a lot about Jesus. You can know a lot about the Christmas story. But unless Jesus changes you, you don't know Him. Matter of fact, Jesus says that. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, or in the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Then he goes on to say what? Then he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Do you know Jesus? If you know Jesus, He's going to change you. And the gospel is this. Marvin, if you can just pass these out. I just want to pass these out. To know Jesus, it means you've got to do a few things. Doesn't mean you have to go to church. Doesn't mean you have to come here on Monday nights. Doesn't mean you have to do everything at reentry court. Doesn't mean you have to do a drug drop. It means to know Jesus, you have to admit that you have sinned against God, and because of your sins, you're separated, and you're separated right now, and you're going to go to hell. You've got to admit your sin, and then you've got to be willing to repent of your sins and say, Jesus, please forgive me. I've sinned against you. Only you. I might have done wrong to other people, but it's my sin against God that separates me. And then what happened? Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, born of the Virgin Mary for one reason. To die. For your sins and for my sins. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead to take the punishment of your sins to be forgiven. And Jesus says if you receive Him, you repent of your sins. What's amazing, He changes your heart. He gives you a new heart. And He changes you. And then He'll say, I know you. On that card we gave out, it shares that, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The only way to get to God is through repenting of your sins and through Jesus Christ. On the back of that card is a prayer. Maybe you've never prayed that prayer. That prayer is like you've been married to 50 years. I've been married 36. To my wife it seems like 50. But before we were married, this is amazing, Mick. You were more godly than I. Before we were married, I'm watching my wife walk down the aisle. You know what I'm thinking? I'm not married. I'm not married. I'm not married. Literally, that's what I'm thinking. Yes, yes, I do, I do. You're now husband and wife. And I look at her and I think, I'm married. That covenant I made at that moment changed me forever. I never went to church. Most people think a pastor, you went to church. I never went to church growing up, never believed in God. Matter of fact, I didn't put two and two together. Jesus and Christmas went together. I was an athlete. I was this big in sixth, seventh grade. Guess what I played? Basketball. And through the Fellowship Christian Athletes, I heard that the purpose of life was not to have basketball stardom and reach that. It was to have a relationship and know Jesus Christ, because I was hurting, I was struggling, I was lonely. And all of a sudden I heard there's a God who loved me and would take away my sins and change me. And on August 7th, 1977, I repented of my sins and I became a child of God. I made a covenant and God changed me from the inside out. The man who loves God will be known by God. And I became to be known by God and I grew in my life and changed. Have you done that? Would God know you? A lot of you, and I know, you know about Jesus. That's not the question. Do you know Him that He would look at you and say that He knows you? He knows your name. You've repented. You walk and you live for Him. Because to complete reentry court, to complete life, be honest, you can't do it on your own. It is God in you will give you the power to do it. Jesus is real and I know He's real because He lives in me. You know, we talk about the Christmas story. It's not enough to know about the story. You got to know some details about it. It's not enough to just know about cliffs and reentry. If I know Him, you're a good man. You keep persevering. Do you know about Jesus? My question is, do you know Him and does He know you? If you've never repented and trusted Jesus and your Savior, you have that card. Do it at your house tonight. Talk with one of the volunteers. Repent and change. What I want to tell you, Jesus changes you. And once He changes you, you won't go back. You're going to live for Him. With that, let me pray. Father, I thank You for everyone here. We thank You. Father, I know many people here, they know a lot about Your Christmas story, but they might not know You. Help them to know that they can begin that relationship with Jesus Christ today. And Father, help us encourage each other, as Marvin and others says, that we would encourage each other to love you and to serve you and to honor you. I just thank you for everyone here. Bless us this Christmas. May we just not know about the story. Father, that's nothing. May this Christmas, may we know the Savior. And may we love you, live for you, for the glory of your name. In your name we pray. Amen.